British forces are currently deployed on 39 operations across 46 countries. But what are they doing in these remote and far-flung locations? The FBS joined up with the MOD to find out what life's really like for those on ops. This time, we're having a brew with the Royal Air Force in Mali.
Morning, gents. How are we doing?
Good morning.
Morning. All right, Matt?
Yeah, good. Has everyone got a brew with them?
Oh, aye.
Yeah, absolutely.
What have you got?
Cheeky Nespresso.
Espresso, Steve?
I've got like a caffeine-free Red Bush type thing.
Oh, that's cute.
I have a nice chilled bottle of Diageo water.
Oh, that doesn't count.
Because I don't drink brews.
The most expensive water in the world.
No, so €12 a bottle.
Sure it is.
Yeah. So, introduce yourself, guys. Let us know kind of where we are, what operation we're on, and what job you do. Steve.
Hi, my name's Steve. I'm a pilot and instructor on CH-47 Chinooks and out here I'm the Deputy Flight Commander for 1310 Flight. We're on Op Newcombe, which is the Chinook support to the French Op Barkhane out in Mali. It's been going on for 18 months or so now, and we've rotated through the two squadrons back at Odium, 27 and 18, and yeah, we're coming up to the end of our little iteration.
Of course, he's a pilot, so everyone wants to hear what a pilot has to say. Towner.
Hello, yeah, I'm Mark. I'm from TSW, Tactical Supply Wing in Staffordshire. I'm the team leader for our team out here, and our role is to provide refuel capabilities to the Chinooks by all different means.
Awesome. And I'm Matt. I'm the DAO, so deployed admin officer on DET. So I look after kind of admin, welfare side of things, but also the finance and media side as well. So the most exciting job on DET, some might say.
Absolutely.
Some might say. Right, so how it's going to work, guys. Got some questions we're going to run through. And yeah, let's just have a chat. So the first one on the list, what is the food situation like?
I like the food. I think the food's good.
I think it's really good.
Think it's really good, yeah.
It's the French, so they can't deploy anywhere, surely, without good food.
Yeah.
Good cheeses.
A lot of French bread.
Yeah.
A lot of French bread.
But also, as well, before we came out here, everyone's like, the food bad. You're always going to be eating fish. I was like, I like fish. Oh, that's going to be a little sad. I like salad. And so far, it's not disappointed.
So
every meal, yeah. Like, never had a bad meal. Not once.
Yeah. Well, so last year when we first arrived, and it's been no different this year, the food's exactly the same. We'd heard horror stories about the food and then turned up and the first day was moules frites. So we're eating mussels in the middle of the desert.
Yeah,
just like looking around going,
what
is the issue here? No, food's really good.
I was told it was hit and miss and I'd definitely lose weight whilst I was out here. Mm. That's not happened because you get your starter, you get your main course, you get a pudding as well.
Yeah, bounty ice creams. The best meal was that Danish barbecue where we had the hog roast.
Yeah.
And then when we went back for my third portion, I got the hoof, which I was a little bit unimpressed by. But then after tucking into it, it was just like a big, massive piece of like pork crackling or scratching. It was lovely.
So that's what you're going to serve up when you get home then?
pig
hoof.
Pig feet, yeah.
Pig feet.
But it was new and I enjoyed it.
Yeah, that was really good. That was a big day.
Who's got the coolest job?
Well,
Steve, I was going to say, should we just rule you out? Mine's cool on our day when we're in our full capabilities and we're out there doing our stuff. Ours is.
I think yours is a cool job.
It is a cool job.
So tell us a bit more about your job then.
Okay, so Tactical Supply Wing, we obviously provide refuel capabilities, as I said earlier, by different means. So we do a rotating refuel, which is cool. We have a driver and an operator get under the blades and obviously provide refuel capabilities, but also we do deployable kind of refuels, so a FARP, forward refueling point, and we deploy all of our assets and we go and actually carry out refuels so we can improve the range of air power in theatre, and really important but exciting role.
Yeah, everyone knows what a pilot does, Steve.
Yeah, it's boring.
Boring,
yeah,
is it?
It is boring.
Flying a fancy aircraft out and about, seeing the sights.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to be an admin officer, where you can look at spreadsheets all day.
The flying is good out here, though. There's a lot of challenging flying, a lot of operating the aircraft, you know, to its maximum range, its maximum capability with weights and things. And the French obviously made the most of the Chinook's capabilities. But it's like any job, isn't it? I'm sure all of you, like, you have exciting days and then you're like, oh, I really can't be bothered. Yeah. It's just whatever day it is. Yeah. Like, you just have down days where you're like, nah. Can't be bothered today.
They get heavy trade and industry has them. They
exactly. Outside of our jobs, though, ignoring our jobs, who do we think?
I think the hookers.
Oh, yeah, that's
so
all.
So the Joint Helicopter Supply Squadron.
Yeah.
Support squadron.
So the hookers are the movers, so Joint Helicopter Support Squadron, is that what it is, so they are responsible for the unslug loads and other cargo and packs moves. As I'm a supplier, we get called stackers, they get called hookers, which, it's a bit...
Not as rude as it sounds.
No. So a hooker, because they hook stuff to the bottom of the aircraft.
That's it, it's unslung load, actually hooking the straps to the...
Hence the name.
You got it.
I always think that I'd kind of, for a day or a week, like to do what the engineers do and have the knowledge to actually tinker with the aircraft. But then again, the hours that they pull are quite...
Yeah, I wouldn't want to do that.
They've been the workhorses, haven't they? Dealing with loads of different issues and stuff. Yeah, they work very hard.
There's no cool jobs, are there?
The interpreter, I suppose, you can just go around and speak to anyone because he's got fluent French.
Yeah.
And there's us there going, bonjour.
Yeah, he's the coolest person on deck. I don't know if it's
He's definitely the coolest. Yeah. Comes handy as well when there's a massive language barrier. When they'd done that thing at Christmas and all Danes were going, is he English? You always need the tape around, even if you are English.
Yeah. But they thought you were foreign.
He thought I was foreign. The Danish guy said to one of the guard went, is he English? And I was like, oh, good.
You did win the best language award for the Oscars.
That treasure I played forever.
So Steve, one for you then. We're talking about jobs. Who's the best pilot? Because I know there's like a left-hand seat, right-hand seat divide, isn't there? The right-hand seat's the boss man, the one in charge.
Yeah, it's really boring, I think, unless you're a pilot, because then no one else probably cares. But left-hand seat traditionally is the co-pilot,
the
right-hand seat is the captain. So it's the left-hand seat will be the junior guy who has to carry all the bags and do all the legwork while the captain just flies the aircraft and just bosses people about, really. So that's where that comes from,
You're more fascinated by this than the pilots.
God, who's the best pilot?
The idea
who's the best left-hand seat? Who's the best right-hand seat?
That's
other than yourself, come on.
Ridiculous question.
You've got the best haircut. Which part's got the best haircut? It's you.
Yeah.
Who's your barber?
Tan is only saying this because, well, A, I haven't got a lot of hair, but what I have got, he cut, so he's very proud.
And Matt as well.
Yeah, he did mine too. He did do mine.
Edward Scissorhands. I'm the theatre barber, yeah.
No, the best pilot can't be me.
Can't be you.
No, because I keep breaking all the aircraft, so can't be me.
I found something out the other day that you're an instructor on it in the UK, and that old saying, those you can't do and those you can't teach. So maybe it's not you.
The best left-hand seat is also the one with the best mustache as well, which comes down later on.
Yeah, who's that then? Let's go to that then.
What do you mean? Who's
got the mustache now? Oh, Mutt. Yeah. Well, he shaved it off at the end.
That was a proper mustache.
It was a proper mustache.
Yeah,
it was.
Yeah, seen a few mustaches, but then once one people do it, they're all quite trendy, aren't they? The pilots, one person shaves, the other person shaves.
Sheep, Steve.
Yeah.
People said they shaved it off because they were worried about going back with a
suntan
mark where their tash has been. Like, that can't be a thing.
It probably is. It probably is. It probably is.
A beard, I understand.
Yeah. You've got a nice beard, Tan, haven't you?
Yeah, a
decent beard going.
A little death beard.
Although, Mark, you did shave it off, didn't you, at the start, because you thought that you looked like Ryland from Big Brother.
So when you start getting compared to Ryland Clark, then you've got to just... he's probably a nice guy, but not someone I want to... Like, if someone said to him, Ryland said, you look like Steven Gerrard, I'd be like, nice, do you? Keep it. Groom it. Someone says Ryland, straight away, got the bick out, took it right off.
Why have you not got a beard, Matt? Is it?
To mine goes.
You're only 12.
No, mine goes ginger. Yeah, mine goes ginger.
I think all beards have some ginger.
Yeah, so trying to avoid the gingerness. No offence to gingers, if anyone is listening. But trying to avoid going ginger. Yeah, there's no real bad moustaches. I can't think of any. A couple of the Royal Engineers, you had some army guys out earlier on, they had some pretty poor tashes.
We haven't had that many, considering that we've been here over November as well. I look like, what's that guy off Clark Gable? You know, it was like, kind of, yeah.
A little pencil.
Yeah.
Line.
That's usually me, though.
Yeah.
I liked Donner's.
Yeah.
He looked like a Mexican bandito.
It's a pun as well.
Yeah, puns.
I forgot about puns.
His wife made him shave it off because she was sick of seeing it on FaceTime. Get it off.
To be fair though, no tashes look good, do they?
No, this is true.
They're all dodgy. Shouldn't be allowed.
This is true.
In life.
Unless it's with a beard.
So what do you both do in your downtime?
I mean, air crew, we don't get much downtime.
Get out. Not having that, Steve.
Just very stand up. We got a gym here. We are limited things that we can do. You can't just go away and have a coffee, you know. So, back in the accommodation, read, watch films, and then outside of that, we got the welfare facility, the gym, which are quite big focal points, aren't they? A lot of us use the welfare facility.
Yeah.
Watch the sports. Could have a softie, whatever. And obviously the gym.
The sports thing has been the main, you know, having the football in an evening or a Saturday.
Oh, yeah, having the BFBS stuff.
Yeah, that's
good,
been genuinely an absolute lifesaver. I don't think I've missed a United game since we've been here.
Yeah, and we've got Liverpool Man United on Sunday. Oof. Everyone is excited about it. Yeah.
It's going to be, I think it's going to be, it's going to be tense.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be a butt for him.
It's going to be tense because we've obviously got quite a few United fans that we sit there every week.
Yeah.
And there's always the kind of Liverpool fans at the back that's kind of shouting and abuse, winding us up the whole time. So, Sunday is going to be...
It's going to be big, yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. So, anything else in the spare time? Steve, you get a lot of it, so...
Yeah.
Talk us through it. What do pilots like to do?
Well, majority of pilots like to go to the gym and then sunbathe.
They do.
That's their activity. Yeah, it is. Not mine.
No, yours. Yours is like eat Weber's Originals and just sit there and
in my rocking chair. Yeah.
With your slippers on. Dear old
dear. Wow, man.
Yeah. What is that the consensus then across the deck that the air crew have the most time off?
Well, but they do. It's just fact.
Yeah, it's not a consensus.
It's just fact. It's just fact.
Yeah. I think. What, more than the squippers?
Oh, no, the squippers.
I've never seen the squippers, so.
Well, they're only in when using them, but for like less time. So, yeah.
There you go. So, they, by definition, they must be. Yeah, squipper is a safety equipment fitter, is what it used to be. I don't know what they call themselves
survival
now.
Survival equipment fitter?
Survival equipment, yeah.
Yeah.
So, shortened. Or mixed up into means squipper. So they are the people that service our helmets.
Oh my god,
they do more than that, Steve. Sell them short.
Can't change the words.
Wow.
They do. So our flying helmets need servicing after every flight and to make sure the communication stuff works, the visors are clear, things like that. So they service them.
But if you were in like a fast jet, they kind of pack the parachutes and that sort of thing.
Yeah, they do that as well.
Yeah,
not
for you guys.
Not for us. No, we don't get
as squippers as a whole.
Yeah,
do more than just service your helmet.
No, they service all the equipment that goes along with the aircrew for flying.
Yeah,
and the harnesses, and they do work with ejection seats as well. Yeah, and they work with parachutes for some special forces roles and stuff like that. Yeah, something like a varied branch.
Are you guys missing home?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, definitely. Miss the kids. Miss friends, family. Don't miss the half an hour queues to get into the Asda and stuff like that, and the whole lockdown. I think it's nice to come away, even though we've got our own kind of social distancing, which is exactly the same, but just in theatre. It's got its own challenges, hasn't it?
Yeah,
it's just leaving the UK the way it was and then coming out here is a bit of pretty, like, pretty even space, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, agreed. How about you, Steve?
I pretty much the same as Towner, missing the kids. Don't miss the UK though, because it's nice and warm out here.
Yeah,
I'm not looking forward to going back and it being snow and slush and just miserable. And yeah, I think we are kind of not protected in terms of catching COVID, but just we're sheltered a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, you expect, well, your image of going home is, yeah, I can't wait to go home, go out for a pint or go to the shops or whatever it is that's your thing. But then you realise, well, no one's doing that. Yeah. They're stuck in their house.
Exactly, yeah.
So, yeah, right now, I don't miss being home.
But do you not think, like, you know, here, we've been out since October, we've not seen a single drop of rain. Do you not just somewhere deep down miss, like, a foggy, drizzly morning in
so,
the UK?
No.
No.
But I miss, like, cold.
Okay.
So I know I said about the snow back in the UK, but that's just miserable, isn't it? I miss... So I wanted to book a skiing holiday. That would be my ideal.
Right.
Is going somewhere snowy but sunny.
Yeah.
Just cold but fun.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not going to happen, but that's that. I'd love to do that. Getting back from here, that would be cool.
My parents sent me a picture this morning, actually, and the garden's just completely covered in snow. But it just looks so nice. We go for a walk or.
Where's that? Where's home?
So York.
Beautiful.
Up north.
That's so close. That's close to Manchester.
I grew up in Cheshire, I'm happy to know, thank you very much.
There we go.
Here we go, 24 miles from Manchester, so I'm more legit United fan than most people on this day.
Come back to,
They now live in York, but we grew up in Cheshire, I'll have you know. You know, Ethan gave me a stick the other day, obviously a Liverpool fan, and he grew up near London. You're like, well, you know, you're a Liverpool fan.
Yeah.
Stop giving this stick to me, this is madness. So what's the living situation like out here, gents?
Well, it's good.
Any home comforts?
Well, the rooms are... We've started off in 4/5-man rooms, didn't we?
Yeah.
And that was all right. It was pretty sociable. Yeah. It was good. But you obviously don't have a lot of your own privacy. And then home comforts really is a mixture of people bringing stuff out themselves.
Yeah.
And the welfare grants that we get, or, you know, people donating things. So we've built it up over the debt and passed it on from incumbent to incumbent. So we have got some like coffee machines and kettles and fridges and things like that, which is quite nice.
Yeah.
And Justin Bieber duvet covers, you know, all the essentials.
Seriously.
Well, I went to make a coffee before, and there it was, a Justin Bieber bed set.
The guy who I share with Schmitty.
Yeah.
He's got one set of Justin Bieber and one set of My Little Pony, which his wife bought for him.
Amazing.
For going on
bands.
It's like on our officer training. Your roommate from the first term, when you're in the third term, basically buys you a duvet set that you're allowed to then put on. And it's always like a big thing of who makes the most. So my roommate, I absolutely hate tuna. I just despise it completely. And he got me a duvet set that just had all these pictures, grotty pictures, like tuna mayo sandwiches and tuna here. And then he's like a huge basketball fan. His favourite film is it like White Men Can't Jump?
Oh, yeah.
So I made this bedspread where it was all these like famous basketball pictures of players that dunking it. And I put my my face on the guys doing the dunking and his face on like, the guy below the rim, like, oh my God, he's dunking. And obviously then the instructors come in and they just look at these duvets like, what on earth is going on? What is going on?
So, maybe we should do that as something here.
Yeah.
You have to buy the guy replacing you.
Yeah, a duvet set.
Just a duvet set, yeah. Step set. One thing I will add to the living situation is We all kind of came out here, like, knowing each other pretty well, didn't we? Well, a lot of us.
To my station.
Yeah, so we went straight into our 4-man rooms, which were kind of small, aren't they? But when we all isolated together in, like, groups of, like, 36, was it, or 33, we all kind of came out here, kind of knowing each other in kind of, like... So it was, that definitely helped.
Yeah, that can help.
Especially for someone like me who's not from Odeon, like, and yourself's obviously not from Odeon, like most people are on this debt. Just getting to know people was actually, a blessing, really. If we say the word debt... we're meaning kind of detachment. So detachment is essentially who we are out here. We are, you know, a group of deployed service personnel from various different trades. You know, you've got some Navy, some Air Force, some Army as well. And as a whole, we are the detachment.
Yeah.
You guys agree?
Because you're detached from your parent unit back at home, yeah. And we're now in 2-man rooms. Is that better, worse, indifferent?
Yeah, it's definitely better. More privacy, but less things to contend with. So in my room, I'm the snorer, and Broomie's the father. So
you can't blame other people.
So it's just a little tin room. Stinks. It's noisy. And if we had like a third person there that brought something else to the party, then it would just be a cocktail. Do you know what I mean? But no, it's good, and the way there's two man rooms, it makes sense.
I think it depends, you know, who you live with. Obviously, you can see in this room, you know, my side of the room is nice and tidy, I like to think. And you look at Guy's side over there.
Yeah, that is pretty.
And it's just a shambles.
Yeah.
It's just a shambles.
He needs to get that tidy, otherwise he's grounded. That's like a teenager's room, though.
That's surprising as well, because normally, I guess your mum would tidy your bedroom for you.
Get out. I'm not that young. I live on my own. Terrible. What is the weirdest thing to have happened so far on Dev?
The weirdest thing?
The weirdest thing.
Getting that brew this morning and seeing them Bieber bedsheets.
That's weird. The weirdest
thing. No, it's not the weirdest, but it was weird. I mean, Smith's like 35.
Something like that.
Yay. I don't know if it's weird, because obviously all the Christmas Eve was like a really nice day, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We had like a really nice dinner.
Yeah.
But then Christmas Day, went in and it was like sausages and rice.
Yeah.
I was in because the French celebrate Christmas on Christmas Eve, so Christmas Day was actually a bit of a non-event for them.
So maybe that could be, I don't know. It's weird. It's just, you know, you're expecting like a bit of gravy, turkey, and then you're like, oh. Succulent sausage, bit of
sausage
it.
Hard and
rice.
Plain rice.
Which contradicts me saying I've never had a bad meal, because it was still nice, just wasn't Christmas nice.
Definitely.
I don't know if it's a weird thing that's happened, but weird behaviour. Remember when I did that thing with the plant? Can you remember? And
this is not a weird.
No, it is weird. Oh, I set the scene. So I'm walking back to the office, and I see Towner over in the corner, hacking down this plant. Hacking it, he's loving life, he's gardening, he's in his element, creating a space. Now this plant is rumoured to be, kind of the sap inside it is poisonous. You know, it's an irritant almost on your skin. And if you inhale it, then you might get like a dodgy tummy for a couple of days. So I walk over to Tana, and I'm like, Mark, you do realise that this is poisonous? And he's like, I was wondering why my arms were tingling. So what he'd done is he thought the sap was like aloe vera, so he started rubbing it into his arms, and it started going red.
I thought it was some sort of organic sun protection, because it...
Yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, why wouldn't it? Just a plant with a milky white sap. I haven't watched any Ray Mears.
Well, that's a thing. That's where I got it from, actually.
Why?
Yeah,
because he did it.
Yeah, nice one, Bear Grylls. Yeah, the Duke. He started taking notes of them because it looked like an aloe vera plant. You know, you see on the adverts, like, oh, aloe vera toilet paper, a little picture of the aloe vera. And I thought, yeah, there you go, 30 odd degrees, skin, it's getting dry, rub it in, and I had to go and wash it off immediately.
It started tingling.
Did it start blistering up?
No, I didn't get that far. Just kind of going, ooh. I feel that it's got like some sort of like tea leaf or tea tree, but like one of them essential for the showers. Starting to enjoy it, and then you came over and get your PPI, you're not allowed to cut that down. And I was like, wow,
he was just about his hand down his pants, back to well, somewhere.
Yeah, but obviously, swept the sweat from my forehead, working hard, so it got on my face, got like on my cheeks. So when I had to wash it off, it was like kind of... But no one does that anymore now. Yeah. So I've guinea picked it.
Well done.
I'm going to read this question out word for word because it's just an interesting question, okay? What is your ride like on tour? And how does it compare to your wheels at home?
Are we talking about cars?
We are talking about cars.
What's your ride? Well, we've got our rides called Dusty. Yeah. And on a day when she's working properly, she loves the little...
So what is she, ride. Like a pickup truck?
She's a 4x4. A 4x4.
A little Toyota, isn't it?
A little Toyota 4x4, yeah. And the radio, like you pick up all like these like dodgy radio things. So like you're never going to get like chart music. A breakfast presenter going, oh, good morning, blah, blah. It's just like so you get that on volume 30, go and do like your laundry run.
That's
fantastic. It's good. This is Africa.
Yeah.
We've got a nice Toyota pickup truck that is just that most sluggish thing to drive.
Well, that black one, or is that?
No, we don't have that anymore. We've gone through numerous ones.
That's good.
We used to have the G Wagon, which was the, again, a Toyota 4x4 with an automatic gearbox.
That was really nice.
But then it just got taken away.
Yeah.
It just got taken away from us.
Yeah.
I was devastated.
The aircrew have a big bang bus. It's a dodgy...
Every time you go over a bus, it's going to fall over.
Yeah, it is a little minibus thing, but really dodgy.
How does it compare to your rides at home? Your wheels at home?
I bet. Can we try and guess your car?
Go on, then.
It's definitely a hatchback.
It's got no hubcaps.
It's going to be like a dodgy colour.
It's
like
got no alloys anymore.
Green. You've got a green Volvo because you're old. Right? Hatchback.
Beige Volvo, please. Oh, okay.
Beige. I've got an Audi. A4.
Nice.
Yeah, be more scouse, I suppose. But yeah, just I've always had Audis, I think. I had an A3, first car, to me car now, A4.
I've got an Audi A4 as well.
Okay.
Actually.
Audis.
Ugh. And it's black. It's not even beige.
Yeah, mine's black.
So you're so
wrong. So, yeah. Is it a sport?
No.
No, of
course not.
And like
it's all about the fuel economy.
Audis are inferior cars.
What do you drive? I reckon yours is like a little mini.
Actually, so between myself and Gemma, we have two cars.
Ooh.
Firstly is the BMW 4 Series Grand Coupe.
Is that one of them little hairdresser cars?
No, it's not. It's not a hairdresser car. It's just like the normal 4 Series, but it's just more of a coupe.
Okay.
It's very coupe. Nice. And we do have a Mini Cooper.
Which is yours.
It's not mine. We share both of them.
Definitely is.
But a Mini Cooper, and I love it. It is like a little go-kart.
Yeah.
It is good.
They are cool little cars.
They are good.
But for a girl.
For a girl, yeah. For a hairdresser.
Or a really young person like you.
Outrageous chap.
Your insurance must cost a fortune, though. Like when you're only 17.
It does, but it's London versus 17. I'm 25. I'm 25. Oh, actually, this is really sad. Obviously, when you get older, you have certain milestones. We've got my 26th birthday next week. No.
That's not
2 weeks away. 2 weeks away. No. The milestone is you then move out of that young person insurance price bracket for your cars. So I'm hoping my insurance will come down dramatically.
Not when they find out you're 26 until I have a Mini. They're going to go, who's this guy? Right, get that up. Get that up.
Force him to sell it.
Yeah. Right. Make and colour. Mini. Pink. No, thank you.
It's black with go faster stripes.
That is one advantage of being 73. Cheap insurance. So
cheap insurance.
Jokes on you.
Well, yeah, quite. So, how does this compare to other deployments that you've been on?
It does definitely feel different. It's almost as if, kind of like all of our. It is very normal deployment within within our work and our areas of responsibility. And once you step outside of it, it kind of feels different.
Okay.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're very reactive, aren't they? So it's all kind of, it's quite fluid, it's quite reactive, which is good. It means it keeps you on your toes. But in terms of a deployment, so the accommodation's really nice, isn't it? But pretty much the rest of the place, so the rest of Gal, is like, it's pretty rustic, isn't it? It's like tents, it's all dusty, there's been no roads made. Whereas I think if this was like an American deployment or other European nations, like the Germans or something, it'd all be hardened accommodation, it'd all be hardened work stuff. Yeah. Whereas I think the French just like that idea of being in that
just do
kind
it.
Of tented, rustic.
Mm. Yeah, one thing I would say is that, you know, usually when you go on deployments, it's obviously an opportunity to travel. I've done Kenya before, we deployed with Batter. But Jordan, done safari tours, done all different bits and bobs. And with this one, you just get on camp, and you don't really get to see, gonna deploy to Mali. So you go back home and go, I've been to Mali, but in actual fact, I couldn't actually say what the actual culture of Mali's like, or visit to the places and stuff like that. So it's like, I went to the mess and the people are really nice, or went to Camp Roberts, or went to the PX. So for that, but no, like TIA, this isn't Africa for me, do you know?
No, I know what you mean. Yeah, you don't get a feel of what the people are like. But I mean, were you in Afghanistan? You wouldn't have got that out there either, would you?
No.
Yeah. Because you did a holiday to Kenya.
No, all right then. Also,
mean you don't normally get to go out and about and meet.
No, people, okay, all right then. So when you do. The Falklands, you can like the whale tours and stuff, and you go to Stanley. Just none of that. Do you know what I mean? You can't leave camp. you're stuck to the four walls, aren't you?
So, I mean, are you guys sick of the desert yet then? Sick of not being able to kind of go out? I mean, obviously, Steve, you get to go outside the wire, but you're flying. But,
yeah.
You know, sick of just being, you know, it being perfect blue sky every day.
No, the weather's nice. Sand this everywhere. This is the perfect time of year to be out here.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
Weather-wise, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's not crazy hot. But there's no rain, there's no bugs, it's really good.
Yeah.
But I'm bored of the dust. Dust and the dirt.
Because the dust affects your chest as well, doesn't it? Because obviously when you walk around at night and you've got your head torch on, you can actually see the dust just kind of like suspended.
Yeah.
The dust, love the temperature.
I think when we first got here, obviously my first kind of deployment away, and at the end of the rainy season, and the bugs were everywhere, like mosquitoes everywhere. I remember that night where you go into the showers and they were literally covering the floor.
Yeah.
You had frogs in the shower with you.
Definitely.
Bugs jumping up at your legs. And I was just thinking, where am I? Why am I doing this? Yeah, exactly. And then literally overnight, it just vanished.
Yeah.
And, you know, hardly seen a bad bug since.
Yeah.
So I think we've been actually quite lucky.
Yeah, this is definitely last year when we were here.
Oh, have you been here before? Oh.
Yeah.
Cute.
This one time in Mali.
Yeah, last year the admin guy was better. No, there was a lot of thunderstorms and a lot of sandstorms.
Okay.
So the bugs weren't there because it wasn't quite the rainy season, but it was a lot hotter and sweatier and just the thunderstorms every day. So you'd be, so we have a barbecue on a Sunday because the mess gets closed down, doesn't it, to be cleaned or whatever. So we go and have a barbecue, and even with the sandstorms you'd see it coming, you'd see all the like lightning in the distance, you'd be like trying to eat your food as quickly as you can, and then it would just pass through and just sand everywhere. That was pretty amazing. So it's definitely nicer this time of year. The sand walls were impressive. Have you seen any photos of the sand walls?
No.
So the thunderstorms kick up these winds, and the winds then kick up the sand and dust, and it creates, rather than just a sandstorm, you know, just the sand being in the air, it's an actual wall of sand that passes along the desert, and it's clear as day. You can see it. It's just a straight line going up to, you know, 500-800 feet.
Crikey.
And it just moves across the desert, and then you can see it coming towards you, and it comes over the camp, and then as it comes over, see if you can find some pictures of it, but it goes, you know, the dust is like, or the dust and sand is kind of an orangey colour.
Yeah.
So when it comes over, it goes dark, obviously, because the sun's all blotted out. But it's like this weird red, orangey glow.
Yeah.
It's really eerie. It's weird.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. It's quite mad.
I wish we'd seen one.
Yeah, definitely.
Just to experience it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
I'd rather not.
Good experience.
just look at the photos. Just from the comfort of your room or back in the UK. Yeah, so I don't think I'm sick of the desert.
No.
It's nice out here.
I think it's not mist there, just grass.
For playing footy on, we play football on tarmac at the minute, which is...
If you fall over.
It's a bit annoying, but AstroTurf, grass,
So what is the most interesting thing you've done personally on this deployment? Start with you, Steve.
Boringly, it's going to be a work thing. It's going to be a more interesting task we've had from the French.
You're
a
pilot.
Yeah. I told you. So yeah, fly Shillings.
Fly Shillings, too.
So the most interesting one we had from the French was, it's probably just where it's the most challenging as a pilot. So when it's something really, really heavy. So we had to take an ISO container full of fuel.
Mm-hmm.
Containers.
APRC.
Yeah.
What's an APRC? What air portable.
Yeah. It's just a deployable tank. Okay. It holds just under 2,000 litres and we deploy with it.
Yeah. Mm. So the French chucked those in an ISO and it was really heavy and it was quite hot. I went to fly it underslung underneath the Chinook. So it was quite challenging. So that's probably my most interesting thing. Sounds very boring though when you explain it.
Yeah.
I need a coffee.
Well done, you flew. You flew a heavy helicopter. Brilliant. Nice one.
What about you?
Was it a really challenging stationary order? Or?
Mine was actually also flying. So obviously I got to... Yeah, I know. Obviously as the kind of media rep out here, got requested that we get some kind of new photos of us flying around. So I got to actually go on a Chinook for the first time in a flight. to the Hombori Mountains.
Nice.
Beautiful scenery. Yeah, really, really awesome. Just the whole experience of being on the aircraft, being able to kind of walk to the end of the ramp and have a look down.
Yeah.
It was just, yeah, really, actually really cool. Never anything like it before.
And why are the Hombori Mountains, like, interesting?
Because there was just the biggest landmark that's around here.
That's
it's not just
say.
Desert.
It's really weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's flat.
Yeah.
You've been out as well, haven't you?
I've not seen Hombori Mountain.
But you've seen the rest of the terrain.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
so it's just flat, tiny little trees.
Yeah.
And nothingness. And then you go down to the Hombori, and then out of the sort of haze are these weird sand stacks, like in a cowboy movie, basically, aren't they?
Yeah.
It's like Nevada or wherever cowboys live. Yeah. And it's just these weird rock formations just out of nowhere, and then flat everywhere else. I think it's really interesting.
There's some water as well, isn't there? I've seen pictures of little...
That's just outside
little
here. It's just outside of the camp, isn't there?
There's a river.
The river, yeah.
Yeah,
there are. There's a few like lakes and things, yeah.
Yeah.
They stay, and then a lot of the smaller rivers all dry up this time of year. And then in the rainy season, everywhere gets changes. It is really green out and about.
Yeah.
Grasses and stuff. But yeah.
Tell me, what about you? Most interesting thing.
Well, I'm going to jump on the bandwagon and say... Yeah, flying as well. Assisting with some understood loads to provide FOBs with supplies. A FOB is a forward operating base.
Okay.
Simply put, so it's just other areas that are operating out here.
Yeah, so it's as the French, this is their main base.
Yeah.
And then as they push out into further areas, they set up smaller little camps, we call those FOBs.
Which was interesting, getting down the ground, unloading the freight, and then seeing all like these teams coming in collecting it, felt like being like a UN mission, and it was really good. Just kind of seeing how we kind of, you know, I don't know, it's just not day to day for me. So it was a good opportunity to get up and stuff, and a good mate of mine as well who used to be on TSW was actually air crew. So we traded from TSW to air crew. So that was a prime moment for me to see him actually doing his thing. So yeah, that's the most interesting thing for me.
Why did you join the military?
Oh,
go on, Mark, you go first.
You set the tone, if it's going to be pure cheesy. Because for me personally, it has to be cheesy, do you know what I mean? Because there's not, you can't... I honestly joined the military to be part of something a bit bigger than a footy team or a bit bigger than like an office team or whatever that. And I've done that over the 12 years I've been in, being part of like the biggest team I could have been part of. And obviously proven out here, coming out as a tactical supply wing, working closely with air crew, adminers, movers, everyone else. So for me, that's why I joined up and I've achieved that.
So what did you join to do? Or did you not care what you
were going to do? Well, when I went to Defcon, they sold the idea of tactical supply wing to me.
Yeah.
So obviously I'm a trade group 18 logistics, which I do enjoy, but part of that trade is TSW, which I wanted to do. So done two tours of TSW now, and it's what I enjoy doing. I will always go back to supply and do that job as well as I can and enjoy it. But yeah, for me, it was definitely TSW.
Yeah, TSW.
Yeah,
that's cool. You got to do what you wanted to do.
No, definitely. Yeah, job done.
Well, so did you, Steve, because you're a pilot, and I'm guessing you joined to fly.
I did join to fly. Yeah. So I rarely. So a lot. Most people. Well, I would say most people, I guess, want to join and be fast jet pilots, whatever. I joined to be a search and rescue pilot.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Which I got to do, but only really because no one else wanted to do it. so I did. That's why I joined the military, to fly. Search and rescue, which I managed to do, which is obviously now, it's not an opportunity that people can do anymore, which is sad because it was really interesting flying. It's really interesting work. You feel like you're helping, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, you're going out to save people. Nice.
When did you go through your training? What year?
Here we go.
So 2001, I started flying training.
Yeah. Well, what about like
I joined
initial training?
2000.
How about you?
2009.
Crikey.
Yeah.
What about you?
2018.
How old was you in when did you join? 2000.
So I was 23.
I was 5.
When
you joined up, I was 5.
Yeah.
All right.
Crikey.
Yeah. What did you join to do?
I joined to be peer support. Genuinely.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's such a kind of diverse job, really. So many things you can go into, so many strands, that I'm kind of someone that gets kind of bored if I'm in the same job for too long. So, you know, moving every 18 months, 2 years to an actual, a genuinely completely different role.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what enticed me in.
I heard a stat that admin is the second most popular branch to join in the RAF.
Yeah, the second most competitive branch to join after
pilot. Not popular.
Well, it has to be. Yeah, after pilots, because everyone wants to be a pilot. But admin, per support, has the most kind of like transferable skills, perhaps into kind of the civilian industry, civilian roles.
I wouldn't have guessed that.
It is.
There was a guy at 27 who's moved on now. He joined to do per support, but then found out he had the aptitude to do pilot.
Oh, really?
So he got, you know, he became a pilot, but I don't think he ever really wanted to. He sort of just did it because he felt like he should, because that's what people push you to go and do if you can.
Yeah.
Whereas I think he wanted to carry on doing what he originally applied for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right, guys, thanks for your time today. I can see your cups are now empty. Myself and Tanner are going to go and do some work for the rest of the day. Steve.
Yeah, after sunbathing.
Sunbathing for the rest of the day.
Get the cups cleaned.
I'll do that then. Yeah, I'll do the washing up. You guys do some proper work.
Brilliant. Cheers, guys. Thank you, Tom.
Cheers. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Fancy a Brew. Check out other episodes at bfbs.com/podcasts.